What's up? This is Willa Ford, and I am the next guest on Entree and Beyond.
On Screen and Beyond, an inside look into the entertainment world featuring interviews with people from the movie, TV, and music industry, news on upcoming TV and DVD releases, and the rumor mill. And now, here's the host of On Screen and Beyond, Brian Zemrak.
Welcome once again to another episode of On Screen and Beyond, the weekly show that keeps you updated on what's coming your way as far as upcoming movies, remakes and sequels, and TV and movie DVD releases, as well as our interview segment with a guest from the movie, TV, or music industry. This is episode 214 of On Screen and Beyond. I'm your host, Brian Zemrak, and this week, my guest will be Willa Ford. Now, Willa, of course, she had the hit song, I Want to Be Bad, and she toured with the Backstreet Boys. She was on Dancing with the Stars, and she was on Glades, and now she is on Magic City, and also she was in Friday the 13th. So she's been in a lot of different stuff. She's got a lot to talk about, and it's going to be coming up in just a few minutes right here on Screen and Beyond. So stick around for that. Now, this past week, some things in the news. On Wednesday, May 16th, this past week, the city of Los Angeles celebrated the second longest-running situation comedy in TV history with My Three Sons Day in L.A., okay? And among the honorees that were on hand were Don Grady, who played Robbie Douglas, Stan Livingston, who played Chip Douglas, and Barry Livingston, who played Ernie Douglas. Now, each of them have been a guest here, right here on Screen and Beyond, and I want to congratulate them. In fact, I heard from Stan the other day, and he was letting everybody know that that was going on. So he's pretty excited and pretty pumped about that, and he should be. But you can still hear their interviews right here on Screen and Beyond in our rerun section of onscreenandbeyond.com. Just go there. You can click and find it. And currently, we are featuring them as our past guest interviews. So they're right on the home page right now. You can just go there and click it, and you can listen to each one of them because, they've each been a guest here at On Screen and Beyond. So we congratulate them, and check those interviews out. Well, what do you say? It's time to check out what's coming your way as far as Remake Madness next, right here on Screen and Beyond.
Please hang up and try again.
Remake Madness, well, Julianna Moore, Gabriella Wilde, and Chloe Grace Moretz will star in the remake of Stephen King's Carrie. So things are moving slowly on that, but now they're starting to move full steam ahead. And another remake of Dracula is in the works, and it looks like the film is called The Last Voyage of the Demeter. And it tells the story of Dracula going from England aboard a ship. Should be kind of spooky, I'm sure. And Clifford the Big Red Dog will be remade into a movie. That's it for Remake Madness. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, we take you down to find out what's coming your way as far as upcoming movies that are new, not remakes, not sequels. And it's next right here on Screen and Beyond. Upcoming new movies, well, Seth Rogen and Barbara Streisand, that's kind of an odd pair, but they're going to star in The Guilt Trip on Christmas Day on 2012, and Denzel Washington will star in Flight on November 2nd in 2012. The film is about a pilot, and the drama comes to us from Robert Zemeckis. And look for Roland Emmerich, White House Down, to hit theaters on November 1st, 2013. That's it for upcoming new movies. Next on Screen and Beyond, we're going to take you down to Sequel City and find out what's coming your way as far as sequels. Next, right here on Screen and Beyond. Sequel City, well, the sequel Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, will arrive on March 15th, 2013. And Smurfs 2 is not out yet, but Smurfs 3 is already in the works. Who would have thought? And Catherine Zeta-Jones will be part of Red 2 with Bruce Willis and Helen Mirren. That's it for Sequel City. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, we take a peek into what's coming your way as far as TV on DVD. TV on DVD, well, Eureka Season 5 will make its way to DVD on July 17th, and Revenge, the complete first season, arrives on August 21st. And August 28th, you can get The Walking Dead Season 2 on DVD. If you haven't had a chance to check that series out, check it out. If you like zombies and stuff, it's a great show. That's it for TV on DVD. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, what's coming your way as far as movies on DVD? Stick around. We got it right here on Screen and Beyond. Movies on DVD. Well, on June 26th, you can catch Mirror Mirror with Julia Roberts as it arrives on DVD and Blu-ray. And American Reunion hits stores on July 10th. And The Hunger Games will attack stores on Blu-ray and DVD in August. So get ready for that. And that's it for movies on DVD. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, my guest is Willa Ford. Now, Willa, of course, she's been a pop diva singing a smash hit called I Want to Be Bad. She was on Dancing with the Stars. She's been in the movie Friday the 13th. And now you can catch her on Magic City on Stars. Okay, so if you haven't had a chance to check that show out, check it out because it's a good show. And Willa's going to be talking about all those things coming up next. Right here on Screen and Beyond. My guest today on Screen and Beyond has made us dance with her hit song, I Wanna Be Bad, and we watched her dance on Dancing with the Stars. We've seen her in movies such as Friday the 13th and on TV on the Glades and now on Magic City on Stars. It's Willa Ford. Willa, it's nice to have you join us on Screen and Beyond.
Thank you for having me.
Willa, let's start off with your latest role as Janice Michaels on Magic City. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Janice is Reno, Magic City, based in 1959. And Janice Michaels is basically the resident crazy redhead is what we're calling her. She sort of does things without a filter. She sort of doesn't really think through things. She sort of just goes and does as she wants and pleases. I think, that's what makes her so interesting as a character because we don't really know what she's going to do next because she's not very logical.
Yeah. Do you like that kind of role where it's all out there?
It's a little challenging only because, Janice is a character, rather than like a main character that kind of started from the beginning, Janice is more of a supporting character that's sort of growing. And so it's always interesting to try to find your own backstory. But I sat down with Mitch Glazer and we started talking about her and why she would make these decisions and where she came from and was it a rich daddy and all these kind of things. And it sort of goes into all the decision making that you have before you actually create the character and make her come to life.
Yeah. So how much input do you actually have when you are in a role like that?
Well, normally you don't have a ton of input. As a, actress that's still trying to prove herself, you usually don't. I mean, Jeffrey Morgan would have a lot of say, so Danny Houston, but, as myself, definitely you wouldn't normally. But Mitch is great. He always wants to know what you think the character would do and where you think she's going. And, Ed Bianchi, who was directing and co-producing the whole thing towards the end, he would have his thoughts. It was always interesting. We would play it both ways and kind of look through it. And then sometimes it would be like, you're right. Well, it needs more here, or it doesn't need so much comedy here, that kind of thing. But, mm-hmm. I actually appreciate this production because we definitely hired actors that have good instincts and they're allowing us to do what we do.
Yeah. Now, where is it filmed, actually?
We film in Miami, in Florida.
In Miami? That's not a bad place.
Set built in Miami ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now, since Magic City is on Stars, it has a little more leeway of how it can be as opposed to being on a network. Do you like the fact that the character can evolve differently as opposed to being on a network?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, network TV is amazing. And once you get on a network show and it just keeps going, obviously that's a dream come true for me afterwards.
Like, right.
Honestly, these cable shows are sort of where it's at, but where the good writing's at, because you can do so much more. I mean, if somebody's getting killed, you don't have to cut things, and you can really show the actual horror of what's going on. Or, if you need nudity for something, you're not trying to cover a boob or something just because you can't see it, that's
mm-hmm.
okay, because that's what naturally would happen. And I think it's always easier to be authentic as an actor when you don't have to worry about what, standards and practice are telling you.
Right. Now, are we going to see more and more of Janice in coming episodes here?
Oh, yeah. We're actually on Friday, you'll see the most you've seen of Janice. I mean, she's sort of, like I said, she's an evolving character. She started out in like a scene, and then by the time the audition came to me, she had two more scenes in another episode, and then as I went down there and I played her, Mitch really, really liked her character and decided to keep her around. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to say too much because I think you have to, you know, you have to wonder what's going to happen to Janice, really.
Like, right. Yeah, I understand.
Janice, like, I don't actually even know, we don't know what's going to happen to Janice in the second season yet. I know thoughts that have been thrown around, but things can change, and depending on scheduling and things like that, but, you know, it's, you'll have to watch.
Janice, right.
Definitely is about to get her hands dirty.
Mm-hmm.
About to, unfortunately, jump into the worst part of the storyline. I think the most threatening and dangerous part I'm about to be in.
I like the way you're phrasing things, because you're not giving much away, but you're still enticing us.
Yeah, she's about to... If you could pick a character you wouldn't want to mess with, a character you wouldn't want to be involved with, well, I would say the Beast.
Now, when you were a child, did you envision yourself as a performer growing up?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even... it's just funny because people ask, I don't know, I don't understand these people that like turn 18 and then all of a sudden they're like, I'm going to go to LA and see if I can make it. And I'm like, that's just, it doesn't even make sense to me. I remember being 5 years old making my sisters and brothers sit down and watch me. And they were older.
Mm-hmm.
Making them and my family sit down and watch me perform like every night. I cut my hair like Cyndi Lauper. I cut all the hair off one side of my head and my mom had to cut it even so I looked like a boy for a while. You know, my mom found a journal from when I was in, like, first or second grade that talks about one day I hope to be in a recording studio and maybe go to the Grammys. I mean, you know, like, I just was a big dreamer, a huge dreamer, and I think I'm grateful because coming from a small farm town, everybody else but my parents thought it was dumb, you know, that I ever thought that anything was going to happen or come of it. But I think those are the real stories. I think those are the stories of people that, like, gave up everything. There's nothing that I haven't give up to get where I am today. You know, I haven't done anything wrong, but I haven't not given up things that, you know,
right.
Other kids probably experienced that I myself didn't get to do just because I was focused in one-track mind on this crazy dream.
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like you're born like that. It sucks to a certain extent because you wish you could do something else because it's one of the hardest businesses to even think about being in. But, you know, you get tough skin and you just, you know, keep going.
Yeah. Now, when you first broke through, you broke through with your singing career. How did that come about exactly?
I was in a singing and dancing group that I would perform in all around Florida. They've been in for like 4 years, and really, like, really talented girls. In fact, quite a few have had label deals and stuff. And basically, this guy saw me and was like, "I want you to sing into my one of the Nextel phones when they had the speaker when that first came out." He's like, "I want you to sing into this." I sang into it, and I didn't know who was on the other line, and whoever it was said, "Get her and her mom on a plane tomorrow to Los Angeles," and it ended up being Magic Johnson, who at the time had a label under MCA Records. So he flew me out there because he wanted to sign me to his label, and when I got to MCA Records, President Jay Boberg at the time heard me sing and said, "I don't think the label that you have, that we've given you, is going to be large enough to promote her." And so Magic was really nice and said, "Well, and do you guys want her at MCA?" And I said, "Yeah." So MCA Records signed me directly then.
Gee. Now,
I mean, I worked my whole life for it, and then all of a sudden it was staring me.
Right, yeah. Now, I Want to Be Bad propelled you into the limelight. Were you prepared for that when that all of a sudden, I mean, it was just a big hit?
Yeah, it was like a, I mean, I think I was prepared for as much as I could be, but, like, you know, no matter what anybody says, it's kind of young to get pushed into that. But it was different than it is now. You know, 10 years ago, I'm so grateful, actually. 10 years ago, we didn't have the TMZs. We had them in Europe, and we had to deal with that over there. But when we came home, we didn't have to deal with, you know, like, paparazzi up in your business all the time and watching you eat a sandwich or whatever. Pictures. So I kind of got really, really lucky in the sense that I had my moment in the sun and I blew up, but it wasn't so in your face that I've been able to sort of, you know, focus on me and sort of disappear as much as I could a little bit to come back and reinvent.
Yeah.
I feel like nowadays it's almost it's going to be impossible for some of these people because it's like now you're just known as a celebrity because even though you don't have anything going on, people just follow you around and take pictures of you.
Right, yeah.
And some of them want it. I mean, some people that's trivial. they tell them where they're going to be. But, you know, I feel like as far as having a craft, it's really, really difficult to get people to take you seriously once that happens.
Yeah, yeah. Now, with Dancing with the Stars, how did they approach you to get you on the show?
They literally had called and said that, you know, they were interested a while before. And I kind of had put it off, and just because my career has always been so racy, most of the stuff I've done has just been a little much for my Southern Baptist grandmother. She's never really been able to really appreciate what I've done. Mm-hmm. So when I told her about it, she said, you absolutely have to do this. Like, you have to do it. And my grandfather was really ill at the time, and he said the same thing. It would mean a lot to them. So I said, you know, what's the difference? I mean, I'm going to have a blast. It's going to be a good time, and I'll just see what happens. And it was. It was a lot of work. It was a really good time. I'm grateful I did it. I wouldn't go back and probably do it again. People always ask. But I really enjoyed the time that I was on it.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, we've had so many seasons now. I feel like there's a good sorority of people. It's like before it was a little like people were scared, like if you're doing Dancing with the Stars. But now there's like so many walks of life. It's like some people are on TV shows. Some people are in film still. Some people aren't doing anything. You know, it's
right.
Kind of a very eclectic crowd.
Yeah. And you had a tough bunch of dancers. I mean, Mario Lopez and Emmett Smith and Joey Lawrence, you know, but the reality is you were robbed. I mean, there were several other people, and I won't mention any other names, Jerry Springer, but
I think, even looking back at Jerry Springer was like, take me, not her. You guys have got to be shitting me. But, you know, we all recognize at the end of the day that, like, you know, I've made it much further than we thought. I didn't expect a 50-year-old woman, that's their main different demographic at the time, to be calling in and voting for me.
Mm.
I mean, yeah. You know, they fell in love with the teddy bear likeness of Emmett Smith, you know,
right,
or
yeah.
The dimples of Mario Lopez. I think that's just the truth of it. They had a hard time getting hot girls to do the show just because they were always the first ones to go.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? It was fine. I mean, I knew that's what was going to happen going into it. So
right.
It wasn't like every week I stayed on was kind of like, holy crap, I stayed on. You know, and I just wanted to look good dancing. I didn't want to look like a fool.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I would rather come out losing and not looking like a fool than looking like a fool and winning.
Well, you were. You're a very good dancer. I mean, you were very good.
Thanks. I will say, though, I mean, the guys, you know, they have to be good, but there is no comparison. You can't compare how hard the guy's stuff is to the girl's stuff because the girls are doing all the tricks.
Right.
Holding what looks like a frame. It's, you know, I watch it now and I kind of laugh and I'm like looking at it thinking they're in flats and they're holding frame. It was like, oh, it's just as hard. I'm like, really? You do a split. Let's see if it's just as hard.
Right. Now you played Anna Nicole Smith in a film. Is it difficult to portray an actual person rather than a fictional character such as Janice in Magic City?
That was scary, actually, because when you're playing somebody that their likeness is so known, it's a very scary thing. Plus, it was like my first large film project that I was cast in, so I was like, you know, I felt like I could take on the task, and obviously they should search high and low. I mean, they auditioned everybody for that, and they felt like I brought the most likeness of her to it, but I mean, I did a lot of research. I watched a lot of tapes. I think what's really important when you're doing it is to try to embody them, to try to get yourself to that point. It's really important to remember you're not that person. And so once you start going and you've established and you're trying to play this character and as honest as you can, I think it's important to stop second-guessing yourself and thinking about the fact, no, would she do this? No, she'd do that. Once you get in that headspace and you establish it, you really got to kind of just go with it because Anna Nicole was really, really tricky. I felt like one of my big complaints was her accent didn't stay the same. So for me, I was worried about people being like, well, if she changes her accent and loses some of the accent and then gets it back all of a sudden, it's going to be weird. Where Anna did that in real life. You know, she started out with a large Mejia, Texas accent. And then all of a sudden, she started sort of losing it a little bit. She got a little wispier, more Marilyn Monroe-y. And then all of a sudden, towards the end, when she got big and didn't care anymore, she got super twang again. So it was things like that I think made me more nervous than the actual, you know, physical anything of her.
Yeah, yeah. Now, are you going to be having any more music coming our way?
I'm working on some stuff sort of under the radar, underground. I've sort of been working on, but I really feel like when I'm doing something, it's really important that I just focus on that because I hate when people water down their music because of film and TV or water down their film and TV because of music. So right now my focus is, you know, primarily on the show and other projects like that. And
yeah.
when I need some time, I have some time to sort of sit down and write. I'm sort of getting in that headspace. But again, like, I'm not taking myself away from what's the most important right now, which unfortunately, as much as I love music, acting has really taken over my time right now.
Well, good, good. Final two questions. Takes us away from your acting and your singing and everything else. When you just kick back and relax, what are your favorite TV shows? What's your favorite TV shows of all time?
Right now?
Now or in the past?
I'm not a big reality TV show girl at all, but Duck Dynasty has stolen my heart. I don't know if you've seen it.
No, I haven't. I haven't seen that one.
Oh, my God. The people that developed the, like, number one duck call in the world, they're millionaires, and they don't know what to do with it. It's like my family back home. It's brilliant. Like, Rednecks, it's hilarious. That's the only reality show that I really get into. But other shows I love, I mean, Breaking Bad's my favorite show on TV. I'm sure it's a lot of people, but Breaking Bad,
right.
Boardwalk Empire. I really like the cable shows. That's why I was kind of stoked about Magic City, because I'm, you know, that's where the good writing is. I'm not a big sitcom girl. I don't sit and watch, you know, like every episode of Friends or anything like that. I never have been. So I usually like that, you know, dark and twisted sort of material.
Yeah. What about movies? What are your favorite movies?
Favorite movies? Oh, man. Movies, I'm kind of both. Like, I like stupid comedies. I'll watch all the old stuff, Bull Durham, or all the Caddyshack movie, like, or things that are like classics, all the National Lampoons. I love that kind of old comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then, I mean, I love anything that, like, Scorsese touches. Obviously, everybody does.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I love the dark, intricate. I recently saw the film that Angelina Jolie directed. I don't know if you saw it, but it was so disturbing. But when I finished, I was like, wow, that makes you want to make movies.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I kind of, with film, I'm a little more eclectic. I'll watch anything. I'll even watch Catfish. I loved that too. So it just depends.
Yeah. What you're in the mood for.
Yeah, what I'm in the mood for. And I'm like super, super picky just about like watching people on screen. Like, there's some people that I love to watch, and then there's some people that I just feel like I'm so bored and I'm not getting anything out of it. I like people that are kind of risk takers.
Well, Magic City, Friday nights at 10 p.m. on Starz. Willa, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you.
Willa Ford, what a great guest. I want to thank her so much for taking the time to talk to us. And be sure to catch her on Magic City, the TV show on Starz. So if you get a chance, check it out if you haven't seen it. It's a great show. And let's see here. If you get a chance, join us on Facebook. Or you can just go to onscreenorbeyond.com, scroll down to the bottom. We'll get a link right there. It'll take you right to us. If you're on Facebook anyways, you know how to get there. And let's see, if you want to give us a suggestion for a guest here at On Screen and Beyond, send it to us at feedback@onscreenandbeyond.com. I'll do my best about getting that person on, see what I can do. And I guess that's about a wrap for this week and this episode of On Screen and Beyond. Till next week, when we once again take you on screen and beyond, I'm Brian Zumrach. Take care.